So I invite you to please come with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that begins in verse 11, runs through to verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse 11 through 18. I've entitled my sermon today, Three Proofs the Good Shepherd Knows You. And it's a wonderful message to follow right on from our having taken time to remember the Lord's death until he comes. Because in this passage before us this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ makes the profound statement, I am the good shepherd. Follow as I read for us John chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me. Because I lay down my life so I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. So it seems this is a conversation that's still taking place with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's engaging with those who are gathered around him, those who are in faith believing of him, but the Pharisees who are disbelieving of him, the scribes who are still disbelieving of him, and the Sadducees who are still disbelieving of him are gathered around him as well. And he's teaching them, I am the good shepherd. And wonderfully, we get into this passage, we find a few other truths which we're mindful of in the other parts of the Bible. For example, when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, as he does in John chapter 10, we get to also remember in Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 20, the writer of the book of Hebrews adds this magnificent statement. Now, the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even such as, for example, Jesus our Lord. That underlines for us the truth that Jesus Christ is not only the good shepherd, but he is the great shepherd. Well, clearly, that sets Jesus Christ apart from the under shepherds, who by comparison are frail. They have several limitations in that they can't be everywhere at once at the same time. They have a tendency to fail. They aren't always available to answer their WhatsApp message. Whereas by comparison, the writer of Hebrews chapter 13 declares, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. In verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ, as we're told, he never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In Colossians 2:3, we're reminded right along the truth that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. We're told in Colossians 2 verse 3 that in Jesus Christ He is all wisdom that we need. In John chapter 10, verse 3, we're told that Jesus Christ knows your name and he knows my name. John 10, 3. Hopefully you're in the Gospel of John once again with me, but in John 10, 3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. In Ephesians, we're told in verse 1:18 through 23, Jesus is all-powerful. Now, yes, folks, I am truly thankful for those faithful under-shepherds whom the Lord raises up and whom he equips and whom he fills with his Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit sovereignly imparts to them sovereign gifts that would help them to be able to be functioning as an under-shepherd. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for their ministry in my life, in your life. But I'm also so thankful and so glad that it is Jesus Christ, the good and great shepherd, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present, all-wise, that provides for, cares for, leads, protects, and feeds the flock that he has preciously purchased with his own blood. If you remember in John chapter 10, verse 10, the week before, we saw the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that abundant life, as we saw last time I was in the Gospel of John 2 weeks ago, that abundant life that we are given because of faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, is life, yes, physically and spiritually, love, forgiveness, protective care, assurance, inheritance, and life with God. But it begs the question, how can I know that Jesus, that good and great shepherd, knows me? Well, thankfully, in our text this morning, we can answer that question from this passage, John 10, verse 11 through 18. We're going to find three truths that affirm for us, the good shepherd knows me. The good shepherd knows you, wonder of wonders. And we're going to do that by firstly encountering the wonderful truth. Here's what the character of the good shepherd's care is for you and for me. And then we're going to see the extent of the good shepherd's care for you and for me. And then we're going to wonderfully be encouraged with the truth. There is God's approval of the good and great shepherd's care for you and for me. So we will encounter firstly what the character of the good shepherd's care is. Then we're going to see the extent of the good shepherd's care. And then we're going to come and grapple and be encouraged with the truth. We have the approval of the good shepherd's care. Let's deal with the first. We find it in verses 11 through 15 of the Gospel of John chapter 10. I'll read it for us again. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 15. Here's where we get to see the character of the good shepherd's care. Jesus speaking says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he's not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, verse 14, and I know my own and my own know me. Now you might be thinking, well, what does that look like? Jesus tells you, this is what my knowing you looks like. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, says Jesus Christ, that's how I know you, with that absolute intimacy. And I lay down my life for you, the sheep. You see, the character of Jesus Christ, good and great shepherd's care for you and for me, is this. You can sum it up. It is sacrificial. Sacrificial in that he stands between his sheep and a would-be predator, our great adversary, Satan. That kind of protection is so wonderfully illustrated when one looks at that life of the ancient king of Israel, King David, a man after God's own heart. And as the Bible testifies, that's exactly who he is. Yes, he wasn't perfect. He made mistakes, and some of them life-changing with life consequences. But the illustration of David as a under-shepherd, David as a shepherd standing between his father's sheep and a would-be predator, perhaps a lion, perhaps a bear, well, that account is given us in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I don't want to just drop us into the scriptures. You're welcome to turn here with me. And if you are going to turn with me, make your way to 1 Samuel chapter 17 and look with me at verse 32 through verse 37. And so that I don't just drop us into the scriptures, let me give you the background. We're about to see the unfolding conflict between Goliath of Gath, a Philistine, and the armies of Israel in the valley of Elah, in Israel, under the leadership of King Saul. And so David has arrived because his father Jesse said to him, you need to go and check how your brothers are doing in the army. And oh, by the way, take them this goody parcel. Oh, I can remember those goody parcels when we were in the border areas. Man, they were good. Way much better than the biscuits that were given us in our dry rations, which were weapons of mass destruction. If you ever ran out of bullets, you could chuck them biscuit. It would kill. Okay, sidetracking. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David's been hearing all of this that Goliath is taunting the armies of Israel with. And so David says to Saul, he's there before King Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him, pointing to Goliath, that giant. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then Saul said to David, verse 33, 1 Samuel 17, you're not able to go in against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're a youth, while he's been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, look at verse 34. Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I, David, this diminutive little red-headed man standing before you, I went out after him and attacked him and rescued him from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, either the lion or the bear, I seized him by his beard. Can you imagine? And struck him and killed him. Verse 36. Your servant, David says to King Saul, has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God. And David went on to say, verse 37, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from this hand of the Philistine. What does Saul say? He's only too happy. Go, and may the Lord be with you. Folks, there are many dangers that threaten you and I, but it has to be said, one of the greatest dangers that we face is death. I've said this before. The greatest danger facing mankind is not our degrading society. It's just going to make life difficult. But God's grace will be sufficient for us. The greatest danger facing us is not coming and being diagnosed with cancer. The greatest danger facing us is not losing all our finances, being thrown into prison because we stand on the Word of God and faithfully proclaim God's truth. The greatest danger facing us is God. And I'm so thankful that He is the one who's able to deliver us from that death which is deserving of us. You see, it has to be said, the greatest danger that we face is God and death as an unsaved sinner. And yet, Jesus Christ as the good and great shepherd, what does He do? He lays down His life for the sheep. You see, Jesus Christ, the character of His good and great shepherd's care for you and I is like David stepped in between his father's flock and the bear or the lion. Jesus Christ steps into to take care of His flock, His father's flock. He is God, eternal, and He takes care of His flock from our greatest predator, Satan, who does what? Goes about this earth as what? A roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour in death. You see, we have a profound testimony in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, about the Lord Jesus Christ and His good and great shepherd's care for you and for me, which is found in Philippians 2, verse 3 through 10. It's where we're told Jesus Christ willingly sets aside the glories of heaven. Because He is equal with God, He is God, He's God eternal, yet He is God distinct in the second person of the triune three-person Godhead, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, God the Son. And He sets all of that aside, even though He's equal with God, so that He could come to earth, would come to earth, and rank Himself willingly under the authority of God the Father and live a life in submission to God the Holy Spirit. And because He was able to do that, and you're able to do that, He was able to, yet without sin, having been tested and tempted in all points as we are, go to the cross and die the death I ought to die, you ought to die. That's His good and great shepherd's care. He does not want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance and everlasting life. So, for the reason that Jesus Christ, God eternal, God equal, yet God distinct, came to earth to die for you and I, and is now risen from the dead, living, we're going to get to that, God has highly exalted Him. How did God put His approval on the good and great shepherd's care for you and I and the character that it is, that it's being sacrificial? He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. He gave Him the commandment, you will rise. And Jesus Christ, in obedience to that commandment, took up that commandment given Him, and He rose, having satisfied, as I said in our time around the Lord's Supper, the just and righteous demands of a thrice holy God. Jesus Christ, God eternal, God equal, and God distinct, came to earth for the very purpose of dying the death that you and I ought to die, and instead gives us life, so that even if we were to die in Christ, we will yet live. That's John chapter 11, verse 25 through 26. Okay, so the character of the good and great shepherd's care for you and for I is sacrificial. That's in complete contrast to the hired hand. There, that character of the hired hand is there's no dedication to protecting the flock. There is no standing between the flock and danger. There is only self-concern and self-preservation, which trumps every other concern for anyone else. Jesus Christ is not that one. Jesus Christ's good and great shepherd's care is characterized by his heart being focused on the care and protection of the sheep. Want an affirming truth? How about the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45? For the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life a ransom, a full payment for many. Jesus Christ gives up everything, right up to and including his life for the sheep. He is no hireling. Now, to have such a good and great shepherd like that, oh, that's encouraging. So let me ask, who wouldn't want to be part of that flock under that shepherd's care? Jesus Christ knows you by name, and the character of his good and great shepherd's care for you is sacrificial. But there's something else. You want to know that he knows you by name? You want to know that he knows you as the good and great shepherd that he is? Then look at the extent. That's my second point. Look at the extent of the good and great shepherd's care for you and I. Come back with me to the Gospel of John chapter 10. And look this time. We're going to go back. We did read up to verse 15. I'm going to go back to verse 14 and take us through to verse 16. For this is my second point. Here we get to see the extent of the good shepherd's care. Verse 14, John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. In other words, just in the same way that I know God the Father, and God the Father knows me, Jesus Christ says to you, I know you in that way. And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's sacrificial. Look at verse 16 though. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. And I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Okay, now I want to spend a little bit of time looking at some words here because it's important. In the Gospel of John, when John, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, says, I know my own, in other words, you and I, that word know in the Greek isn't a word that you would use to describe an intellectual awareness. It isn't that, yeah, someone might say to me, do you know Sue Cooper? Of course I do, she's my wife. But do I know everything about her? No, I don't have a crystal ball. I'm still learning after 44 years of marriage. To God be the glory. And I still don't get it right. So be encouraged. But the word know here isn't an intellectual understanding of who Sue is. The word know is much, much more. It is akin to being intimate with that person. It speaks of an intimate relationship no other can have. Again, holding to the illustration of Sue. No one has an intimate relationship with Sue like I do. In the same way, that's the word used to describe. Jesus Christ knows you intimately. How could that be? Psalm 139. I knew you before you were even formed in your mother's womb. I know how many days are apportioned you, and I knew how many days are apportioned you before there was even but one. Jesus Christ knows you intimately. And he illustrates just how intimately he knows you by relating how God the Father knows him and how he knows God the Father. Now, again, my illustration of Sue. We know Jesus Christ as God the Son loves God the Father. But we don't know the intimacy that Jesus Christ, God the Son, loves God the Father with, and vice versa. You know I love Sue, but you don't know the intimacy that I have in my love for Sue. And yes, this is a truth. Believe it or not, she loves me. I know. I've picked the daisies. I've done it. She loves me. Now, Jesus Christ says to you, in terms of the most intimate relationship that you can possibly think of on a human level, I know you like that. But there's another word I want to focus in on. Not only does Jesus Christ know us, but that word know means he even knows your name. Okay, look at verse, just a reminder, just glance back at John chapter 10, verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and look at this, he, the doorkeeper, the shepherd, opens, he calls his own sheep, what? By name, and leads them out. Remember, time and time again in God's word, we see Jesus Christ interacting with people that, according to the word of God, humanly speaking, Jesus had never met them, they had never met Jesus. He knew Simon, Peter, as we know him, before Peter knew him. And he knew him to the point where he gave him a new name. Folks, when you give someone your name, you are testifying for everyone around. And that person taking your name is testifying to everyone around the intimate relationship you have with them. That's why I will always counsel husbands, give your last name, your surname to your wife, and wife, do not hesitate to take it. Yes, it speaks of ownership, but that's not the point. The point is it relates to an intimacy. Now, here's the thing. You might think, well, I've never been given a name. I'm still called Ross Allen John Cooper. Oh, but there's a new name written down in heaven. And it might not be Tiny. It might be Jaime. I have no idea. But this much I know. I have a new name written down in heaven. Who wrote that down? Jesus Christ. And how did that happen? Because he knew in eternity past he would work things out for me that I would be overruled in my stubborn heart, rebellion and rejection against him. And he, with bonds and cords of love, would draw me to the foot of the cross and save me to the uttermost. So he's got my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He knows you by name. He called Simon and gave him a new name, an intimacy, and yes, an ownership. And yes, it's true. I have a new name. I am owned by the greatest slave master in the universe. In fact, he's the creator of the universe, God himself. But look at Zacchaeus, a diminutive man. I have a thing for small men. That came out wrong. Okay. Zacchaeus, a little man, climbs a sycamore tree. And Jesus passes underneath that tree, and the city of Jericho looks up and says, Zacchaeus, he's never met him in his life. Zacchaeus hasn't met Jesus. Come down, for today I will eat with you. And again, in Middle Eastern culture, folks, you don't share a meal with someone unless you know them and are in a living relationship with them. Why do you think it's only believers that take the Lord's Supper? He called Zacchaeus by name. He spoke Mary's name as the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So that helps us understand, oh, okay, even Jesus, now that he is risen from the dead, he still knows you by name. He knew Mary by name. Remember, she's at the garden tomb, distressed. The body's not there. And Jesus says to him, Mary, I'm here. Now go and tell my disciples. I'll meet them in Galilee. Have you ever lost your identity, as it were, in a maze of computer operations and Standard Bank knows you as a number? The police knew me as a number. I've still got that embedded into my brain. Patrol Officer Cooper, regimental number 9511. And that I was given on the 16th of December, 1975. It's still there, despite my Alzheimer's. You might think that you're just a number. Well, you are not a number. He knows you by name, but also he knows you by your nature. I love this. Oh, I'm a little bit different to you, and you're a little bit different to me. Why is that? Because all sheep are distinct from one another. Ask a good shepherd. You take aside a Bedouin shepherd in modern day Israel and say to him, tell me about that sheep. He'll tell you its name. He'll tell you what that sheep likes. He'll tell you what that sheep dislikes, because he knows that sheep intimately. When a shepherd goes into a field, he goes before them and he prepares the field for them. And he'll know as he enters into that sheepfold, ah, there's a spot which has got a thicket. Now, Barbara is scared of thickets, so he's going to make sure he keeps Barbara from the thicket. He knows her intimately. Jesus Christ knows your nature, your character, intimately. What a shepherd this is. So a faithful shepherd considers the needs of his people, his sheep, as he tends them. That's who Jesus Christ is. Do you get to see the extent of him knowing you? Have you ever noticed how the 12 apostles were so different? Peter was impulsive and outspoken. Thomas was hesitant and doubting. Andrew was a people person. Just come to Jesus. I'll take you to him. Judas, why, he wanted to use people in order to get money. Jesus knew these men personally. He knew exactly how to deal with them. Now, because he knows you and I by name, he knows our nature, he knows our needs. Oh, folks, oftentimes we think, oh, no one knows just what I need. No, you, Tiny might not, as your under-shepherd, but your good and great shepherd knows exactly. Just think of Psalm 23 for a moment. I'm not going to read it for us because of time. But if you were to just take verse 1 and verse 6 of Psalm 23, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 1. Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you take those two sentences and combine them together, you get the theme of Psalm 23. And what is it? I shall not want all the days of my life. There it is. How's that possible? Because you have a good and great shepherd. But here's another thing. As the shepherd cares for the sheep get to know their shepherd. The good shepherd knows his sheep and his sheep know him, but we get to know him day by day, moment by moment, a little bit more than we did today. Tomorrow, I pray we'd love him more than we are loving of him today. I pray as we leave here, we would have maybe come in not so thankful. But now we're going to leave here, hopefully, stirred by the truth of God's word, the character of the shepherd's care, the extent of the shepherd's care for me. Oh, my heart, my cup is full to overflowing. Well, let me move us on to the third, and it goes very quickly. The third is where we get to see the approval of the good and of the good and great shepherd's care. You see, it works like this. Just as Jesus Christ knows his sheep, and as he knows what they need, and as he knows you, and as he knows what you need, you may be wondering, well, I wonder just how much is this known of and approved by God? Can I be sure? Oh, yes, you can. Look at verses 17 through verse 18. Here's where we get to see the approval of the good shepherd's care for you and for me. John chapter 10, verse 17. For this reason, what reason? The Father loves me, but why does the Father love you, Jesus? Because I lay down my life, so I must take it up again. You want to know why God the Father loves God the Son intimately? Is because God the Son, in eternity past, with God the Holy Spirit, God the Father, determined that he would fulfill the perfect and sovereign will of the Godhead to save Tiny Cooper, who would only be born in 1957, but who would be in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ, God eternal, said, I will go to earth and I'll go at your appointed time, God the Father, so that I would die for the want and need of Tiny Cooper, who would only be born in 1957. Now, he came to earth to do that, not just for me, but for every single person whom he lovingly wove in their mother's womb. You see, how can I know that this is approved by God? Well, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. Verse 18. Here's the approval of God the Father for God the Son's good and great shepherd's care for you. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down. Thus saith the Lord, this shall be done. I have the authority to take it up again. Thus saith the Lord, your Holy One will not see death and decay. This commandment I received from my Father. You see, that thread goes all the way back into verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ gives his life voluntarily, willingly, and gladly, because of his, as well as God the Father's and God the Holy Spirit's, everlasting love toward each one of us. And here's the thing. As God the Father sees God the Son giving his life and rescuing his sheep, God gives his approval to God the Son How? By leaving him laying in the grave, having paid the price for my sin? No, no. Approval. You want to know it? Rise, my son. And Jesus Christ was given that commandment. You shall break the power of sin and death and set the captive free. And Jesus Christ is risen. Judas's betrayal and the leading of the temple guard to arrest Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane is a very graphic affirmation of Jesus' truth in John 18. I have the authority to lay it down. Okay, let me conclude this all for us now. Let me pull these three proofs together that the Good Shepherd knows you. Those three proofs being, firstly, the character of the Good Shepherd's care for you. Secondly, the extent of the Good Shepherd's care for you. And lastly, the approval of God the Father to God the Son's Good Shepherd care of you. God in His sovereignty, here's how it's all going to work together. God in His sovereignty over your salvation chooses to give you is this. He has worked everything out for you in this day, bringing you and I to this moment in time and space which He is sovereign over, and He is absolutely sovereign over events that have brought you into the hearing of His word this morning for the purpose that you would hear this life-changing truth from His word. So it begs the question, have you opened your eyes to His salvation found in Himself by faith alone, through grace alone, and in Christ alone? A demon can't open your blind eyes. But here's the truth that we've already seen in John chapter 9 and into John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ, that good and great shepherd, He can open your spiritually blind, unseeing eyes to Himself. So, are you still lost in your antagonism toward Jesus Christ because you don't want to surrender your such lovely, sinful life? Are you lost still in your sin because of your indecision? I don't want to give that up because I enjoy doing it so much. Let me ask you, why would you not want to be part of the fold and flock of the good and great shepherd who knows you intimately? And the extent of Him knowing you is immense because He loves you sacrificially. The good shepherd's care for you is sacrificial in character. He died for you. The good shepherd's care is extended to whomsoever will believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have life eternal. The Good Shepherd's care for you is with the approval of God the Father, in that He is risen. And you are now in a living, vibrant relationship with a living Savior. So, remember, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, that they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Are you still doubting the good and great shepherd knows you? I can understand why that can be. Because you and I are so conditioned by our society that we inadvertently think we're a number, a nobody that nobody notices. But that's not true. From our passage today, three proofs are given. The good shepherd knows you. The good shepherd protects you. The good shepherd provides for you. The good shepherd leads you by name. The good shepherd has God the Father's approval of His shepherding care of you. So, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, says Jesus Christ, and I, Jesus Christ, will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, says Jesus Christ, and my burden is light. Remember, God formed you in your mother's womb, and He knows your soul perfectly well. He's loved it in eternity past, and in this day, He still loves you, despite who you are. You have been perfectly made, and He's provided for you His perfect salvation to perfectly save you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the time given us to be reminded of some precious truths, especially in a day which we find ourselves oftentimes feeling we're so insignificant, so unloved, so unknown, and yet thank you for correcting our errant thinking. And as we go to the day now, Lord, help us therefore now to be thankful in contentment and with godliness as we reflect moment by moment, not only in this day but in the days to come, the good and great shepherd's care you have afforded us, are giving us, and will continue to give us. So we thank you for loving us first, and we do love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.